The Will Cain Show podcast is presented by Eno, the Capital One assistant. What's in your wallet?
This is the Will Cain podcast on ESPN Radio.
Andy Dalton is a Dallas Cowboy. They don't have a new starting quarterback. What the Cowboys do have is the best two deep at quarterback in the NFL. This is the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and on ESPN News, presented by Progressive Insurance. And you can join the conversation at 888-729-3776. Coming up on today's show, do your homework, best movies at sea. A little bit later in this hour, we'll nominate who got last. Will it be Nuno, Mike A., Bubba, Pat, or myself? And later on, the Will Cain Show, we'll see who the winner is. And did you watch The Last Dance? I have an observation and a question. My observation is Michael Jordan is unapologetically himself. Whether or not it's politics, business, or basketball, there's no doubt in his mind about who he is and what he should be doing. And my question is, are all great athletes motivated by hate? Is anger an essential component to dominating your competition? Or are there other things that drive great athletes? Perfectionism, happiness, inspiration? Because for Michael Jordan, it clearly came from a place of anger. And I'm just curious, is that always the way it is? But we start in the NFL, and we start with the Dallas Cowboys. On Saturday, the Cowboys signed the former starting quarterback of the Cincinnati Bengals, Andy Dalton, to a $3 million contract as their new backup quarterback. First, let me tell you what this is not. Andy Dalton is not signed to the Dallas Cowboys to be their starting quarterback. That's insane. That's wrong. That's wishful thinking from Cowboy haters that hope that there's a quarterback controversy in Dallas. Dak Prescott is the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys. He has a franchise tag tender north of $31 million, and he is actively in negotiations with the Cowboys for a long-term extension. Dak Prescott is a top seven quarterback in the NFL, and he is not just the starting quarterback of that franchise, but the cornerstone of the Dallas Cowboys. Andy Dalton is not signed to be a starter. He's also not signed to be this, as described by Stephen A. Smith this morning on Get Up.
It's an elevated level of leverage for Jerry Jones. Their mentality is like, listen, we want you. We offered you an exorbitant contract, but in the end, we're going to go on without you. Life goes on without you. They're giving Dak Prescott a reality check.
He is not a reality check. Andy Dalton is not leverage. He is a backup quarterback. That's number one on the five things that Andy Dalton actually is. He's not a starter, and he's not leverage. No matter how many people tell you that, they're simply reading into it what they hope to be true. This is not a contract ploy, nor is it competition. It is simply putting the Cowboys in a better position with depth at backup quarterback. In fact, in my estimation, it's probably the best backup quarterback in the NFL. Can you find me a better one? I don't know. If we looked at two deep at quarterback across the NFL, who beats the Dallas Cowboys at this point? Jameis Winston and Drew Brees in New Orleans? Maybe. Jacoby Brissett and Phillip Rivers in Indianapolis? I don't know. RG3 and Lamar Jackson in Baltimore? Maybe. Let's go through that a little bit later on the Will Cain Show. Who has got the best two deep at quarterback in the NFL? But for right now, rest assured the Dallas Cowboys are in that debate, if not already at number one, because Andy Dalton, number one, is signed to be a backup quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys. Number two, he confirms the Dallas Cowboys have a type. Look, man, they're into gingers. What are you going to do about it? Some dudes are into redheads. Apparently Jerry Jones is. From Jason Garrett to Brandon Whedon to Cooper Rush to Andy Dalton, the primary job requirement in becoming the backup quarterback for the Cowboys is to be a ginger. It's not right. It's not wrong. It just is. Job application. College degree? Not important. Straight A's? Definitely not important. SAT score, leave it blank. Hair color, if you can check the red mark, you, my friend, have a good chance to be the next backup quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys after Andy Dalton. What are you going to do? They have a type. Number three, he's cheap. Andy Dalton is $3 million. There's a lot of talk about the incentives. Could it get to $7 million? In order for Andy Dalton to make $7 million from the Dallas Cowboys, he would need to start roughly 50% of the snaps and guide them to a Super Bowl victory. If he does those things, $7 million will also be cheap. No, he's much more likely to make roughly $3 million. That's a good price for any backup quarterback, much less the best backup quarterback now in the NFL. Number four, we heard it from Adam Schefter when it comes to the Eagles. It's Rona protection. Look, not making light of coronavirus, let's look at the real context of the NFL right now. We're moving to a 17-game schedule. We've got expanded roster spots. You can carry three quarterbacks easier. The Cowboys released their previous backup quarterback, Cooper Rush, drafted Ben DiNucci in the seventh round. They're going to carry three quarterbacks, or one will get pushed to the practice squad. We know which one that will be. And Andy Dalton steps in to an environment where we don't know if we're going to get an NFL season altogether. And if we do, you do have to protect yourself against injury and contingencies and positive coronavirus tests. He gives the Cowboys the ability to step in and win one, two, three games by making their quarterback room much deeper. And that brings us to number five. Guess who's on the Cowboys schedule this year? You know how you rotate around cross-conference, AFC East, AFC West, AFC South, AFC North. You play all the teams in that division, right, on a four-year rotating schedule. Guess who the Cowboys have in 2020? That's right. The AFC North. The Pittsburgh Steelers, the Cleveland Browns, the Baltimore Ravens, and the Cincinnati Bengals. Who has a pretty good working knowledge of the teams in the AFC North? A quarterback that's been playing against them for the better part of a decade. Twice a year for each one of those teams. Andy Dalton is intel. Andy Dalton is a better opportunity to win those four games, whether or not he's on the field or on the bench. Andy Dalton has inside knowledge of the AFC North. So what is he? The best backup quarterback in the NFL. Depth for Rona, a redhead, cheap, and intel for the AFC North. He is not. What Dan Orlovsky joined Stephen A. Smith in telling you he wants to be true. Listen.
Now that Andy Dalton is there, the Cowboys can sit back. Their front office can sit back with no worry. And Dak now has to worry. Wait, if we get to July 15 and they don't meet the number that I want because they don't have to, or the years that I want because they don't have to, I now have to worry. I have to worry that Andy Dalton can go out there and execute this offense with one of the best offensive lines in football, one of the best tailbacks in football. Dak's got to have a little bit of worry of going, man, now Andy Dalton can go out there and perform at a high level. The Cowboys will sniff 9 or 10 wins with Andy Dalton, and maybe I don't have the leverage that I thought I did before this move. That's the thing, is what Dak, the worry now goes to Dak rather than the Cowboys organization.
Andy Dalton is not a shift in leverage between the Dallas Cowboys and Dak Prescott. Andy Dalton is not the starting quarterback in Dallas. He is depth, roster protection, cheap, intel on the AFC North, and perhaps most importantly, a ginger. And that's my opening take, brought to you by My Computer Career, training for a better life. Michael Jordan was featured once again for 2 hours last night in our 10-part series on ESPN called The Last Dance. And Michael Jordan last night, for the first time in this series, had his reputation questioned, perhaps tarnished, with conversations about gambling and his willingness to step into the political arena. Last night, for the first time, they addressed the idea that Michael Jordan said in the early 1990s, Republicans buy sneakers too. And do you know what Jordan's response was? Unapologetic. Because Jordan is Jordan. That's how you get to be the greatest of all time. Not by bending to the will of everyone else's wishes, which they have arrived at through the process of consensus. That ain't how greats do it. And Michael Jordan won't apologize. That's next on The Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Capital One knows life doesn't alert you about your credit card. That's why we created Eno, the Capital One assistant that looks out for surprise credit card charges like overtipping, duplicate charges, or potential fraud, then sends an alert to your phone and helps if you need to fix them. Another way Capital One is watching out for your money when you're not. Capital One, what's in your wallet? See CapitalOne.com for details.
Hello, this is your apartment. I need some favors from you. Your cat keeps rubbing against the kitchen island, and I can't return the favor. Can you give her extra pets for me? After that, could you bundle your renters and car insurance with Geico? We could save money, and it's easy to do online. And one last thing. Could you leave the TV on during the day? I need to catch up on my soaps.
Geico. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
Michael Jordan will not be, will not do what you want him to do. He will only be the best basketball player of all time and do everything it takes to make sure everyone in vicinity knows that. It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. Legendary Miami Dolphins head coach Don Shula has passed away, one of the greatest coaches in NFL history. And coming up a little bit later on here in the show, Greg Cody of the Miami Herald is going to join us to talk about what Shula meant, not just for Miami, but for football at large. Also, we have to settle our homework. Let's take it one step at a time, as we always do. Best movies that take place at sea. We make no guarantees that we nominated the five best, just our five favorites. So we'll see which one of our favorites actually gets last place first. We're going to do that here in about 30 minutes on The Will Cain Show. And for everybody reaching out to me on social media, don't worry. Our boy Dan Orlovsky's actually going to be on the show coming up in about 10 minutes. I'll ask him all the questions you want me to ask him, like why is he comparing Dalton to Dak? Have the Cowboys admitted that the backup quarterback position is uber important and you should spend a second round pick or free agency cash on a backup quarterback? It's bad logic. And why does he say Dalton the way that Orlovsky says the word Dalton? I'm going to run all that by him coming up in just a moment on The Will Cain Show. But watching The Last Dance last night, there was two big takeaways for me, two big subjects of conversation. I want to talk about what it takes to be a great competitor. I know you're like, well, oh my God, why are we doing this intangible, abstract thing? No, I'm serious, man. As you watched it over and over again, Jordan forced anger into everything. And I heard Scott Van Pelt talking about it on his show after the documentary ended. He created these things, man, this hatred with anyone and everyone from Dan Marley to Charles Barkley to Isaiah Thomas to Jerry Krause. Every time you turned around, he was fueled by some slight, perceived or real. How dare someone mention the name Clyde Drexler in the same breath as me? I must destroy him. Playing quarters with his security guards in the hallways, always competing, always got a little juice going. And I'm just curious watching that. Look, obviously, I wasn't a world-class high-level athlete. I mean, I was a Division I water polo player, but what are you going to do? I'm serious, though. Is it always anger, you think? Because I think about this sometimes with my kids. I've got two boys, right? And they're both super into soccer, and they're both motivated very differently. One is that edgy guy, like, I want to beat you. I want to destroy you. I'm angry about it. He plays angry. Plays angry. And by the way, plays really well because of it. The other one doesn't have that, man. He's not mad. He's the nicest kid in the world. He's good too, but like he's driven out of something more. And honestly, I try to find it a lot. It's kind of funny, you know, like he's more like, I don't know, Eli? Because he never gets too high and never gets too low, which is a great quality in a lot of ways because I see other fiery competitors get down and kick cans and walk off the field. Always, once the going gets tough. And I have one sense, he would never do that, man. He'll grind all the way to the end of the game. But he also doesn't have, where's your throat? Because I don't want to step on the jugular. So I'm just curious, like, and I know, I'm asking you, 888-729-3776, you're not a world-class athlete either. And I'll ask others, I'll ask Orlovsky, I'll ask others as we go throughout the show today, is it always driven the way it was driven by Jordan? He just had it in spades? Or are there other places to find that motivation? You know, not just anger, but love of the game, perfectionism, beauty, happiness. I don't know. It's greatness only motivated out of one thing. Because for Jordan, it was anger. We'll do that a little bit later on in the show, actually. But here's what I want to talk about last night. The other point of conversation was the now notorious reported quote from Michael Jordan that Republicans buy sneakers too. I use that word notorious in quotation marks because it really is only notorious for those who wish it to be. And most of those with microphones wish it to be. But it was Michael Jordan's unwillingness to get involved in a North Carolina senatorial race in the early 1990s. And he says he said in jest on the bus to Horace Grant and Scottie Pippen, man, Republicans buy sneakers too. There was voices all throughout the documentary. Todd Boyd, an author, Barack Obama, former president of the United States, and others saying, hey, they wish Jordan had stepped up for social justice in the same way, for example, that LeBron James has. And then cut to present day and Michael Jordan giving an interview. And he is 100% unapologetic about it. I mean, this is a man that seems like he could sit down in front of the former president and say, eh, I did it my way. Michael Jordan made it clear, I was here to be the greatest basketball player on earth. I wasn't here to be an advocate. I was here to dominate at this sport, not to turn this sport into a platform on which to share my half-baked political ideas. He has no apologies to offer to anyone. That, I think, is pretty indicative, pretty tied to why he became as great as he did. Could it be anything but that singular focus to drive someone to that level? But he also says this, and this is the key, and this I think actually is the most interesting to me. He says, I chose to lead by example. If you found that inspirational, great, because I'm going to keep doing it. But if you wanted me to be something else, you might need to find somebody else to follow. I love that. And I think there's so much depth in that, that no one, virtually no one, will grant. During the other award-winning long documentary series from ESPN, O.J. Made in America, there was a point when they discussed O.J. in the 1970s. It's always hard for us today to discuss who O.J. was before he became who we know O.J. is. But in the 70s, we're not talking about a sociopathic human being reviled across the political landscape. We're talking about somebody who was a striver, O.J., and he also declined to get involved in political activism. But what O.J. did, and I don't really care about his intentions, it wasn't about whether or not it was, you know, with a good heart or to line a pocket. O.J. appeared in Hertz commercials, toothpaste commercials, and on and on. And in that documentary, they acknowledged that in the late 1970s, if you were a young black kid growing up, you had never seen somebody like O.J. Simpson, somebody like you, in a toothpaste commercial. And that in and of itself was glass ceiling breaking. That was roof raising. That was inspirational. Who cares about his intentions? In effect, O.J. affected change. O.J. affected inspiration. And O.J. did it by declining to be political. And that takes me back to what Jordan had to say. Jordan was leading by example, and if you saw that as inspiration, great, because he's going to continue to do that. But if you wanted him to be political, you might need to find somebody else to follow. Because when you step into the political arena in this conversation, there is only one set of ideas that will be applauded. There is only one set of ideas that a documentary will look back on and go, well, that's what we really wanted from him. There's only one set of ideas that the media will cheer. But the way Michael Jordan did it, he hit inspiration across the political landscape. And if your comeback to me is, yeah, but he was just being selfish and getting rich, who cares? The road to hell is paved with good intentions. The point is, good intentions can take you in any direction. You might look back and go, whatever or not his intentions were, he might not have signed up for my political agenda, but boy, did he inspire a lot of people to be better, do better, and strive higher. Now, there's more than one way to be an inspiration. There's more than one way to serve as an example, unless in your mind, it's only your way. The Will Cain Show's Last Dance Recap is brought to you by AT&T. Let's get Dan Orlovsky in here. I'm going to ask him many, many, many questions, including, how do you say Dalton? It's coming up on The Will Cain Show.
Hello, this is your apartment. I need some favors from you. Your cat keeps rubbing against the kitchen island and I can't return the favor. Can you give her extra pets for me? After that, could you bundle your renters and car insurance with Geico? We could save money and it's easy to do online. And one last thing. Could you leave the TV on during the day? I need to catch up on my soaps.
Geico. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Home Insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. Here he is. It's Dan Orlovsky. He's public enemy number one in Cowboys Nation. Now he's out there calling him soft. It's not how you make friends, Dan.
I'm not trying to make friends, bro.
Oh, I feel like an Old West gunfighter just walked into the saloon. My goodness. Everybody has to turn and look who the Billy Badass is. It's all of a sudden in the room. Dan Orlovsky is his name, folks, and there's a new sheriff in town.
Dude, it's the most sensitive and insecure fan base in sports. I say one thing, it's like, oh my gosh, you're such a hater. It's like, dude, you guys, I get it. You guys, you're good. Leave me alone, Cowboys fan. Leave me alone.
Listen, are we friends? Are you and I friends?
I consider you to be a very close friend. You know that. I love you.
Okay. So let me give you a piece of advice, because you know you're doing a thing. And if you don't, the thing is, here we go. All right.
You don't get it. Will. I'm not doing a thing. Do you think that when we sit down in the productions meetings, I'm going, hey, can we find a way to talk about the Cowboys today, please? Can we do that? No. Hey, we're going to talk about the Cowboys today. All right. Okay, what am I going to say that I actually believe, but also is going to be television? Do you want me to say, like, the most boring, generic stuff? No, I have to. My job is to try to say things that I believe in that are from me, but also are good television. And so I'm not doing a thing. Here's the thing, Will. One of my good buddies coaches on the Cowboys. I want them to do well.
Okay,
two,
no need to brag.
If I have Cowboys fans going, man, you're just smart because you know talking bad about the Cowboys is good for business. It's actually the contrary. If I wanted the biggest fan base in pro sports to be on my side, which would matter to think, man, this guy's great at his job, I'd probably love on the Cowboys all the time, because then every Cowboys fan who's, again, the biggest sports base in America for pro football would think I'm the greatest thing when it comes to this world. So I'm not, I don't have a thing, dude. I honestly don't.
Okay. A couple of responses. I hope you'll let me work through them. That was just a horrible, faulty premise that you ended with. And it really undercuts any other ideas you want to make. I mean, all you have to do is look across the studio at Stephen A. Smith and realize that hate and love are almost one and the same, and hating on the biggest fan base is almost as lucrative and profitable and attention gathering as loving on the biggest fan base is. So I'm not saying you or Stephen A. are particularly dedicated to an ulterior motive. I don't believe that. But I will say this. Don't pretend like the best way to make your way is to be the lover of them, because I can see a great example of hating them all the way to the top. That's neither here nor there. More specifically, what I would say is you do have a thing. Now, let me explain, okay? Just hear me out for once. It may not be voluntary. I mean, it may be unconscious bias. But I will give you an example. You, I agree, are told what the subjects are going to be. You don't say, I can't wait to come in and crush the Cowboys today. That's fair. I know how television production works. And I also defended you the other day, so you know this, against my fellow Cowboys compatriots, that you are not working on some kind of deep, you know, dive motive here to get my most attention I can. I don't think you're doing that, but I still think you're doing a thing, because you can't help it, because you have a Philly bias. And when you tweet out, I don't know if you're lying to yourself or not at this point, Andy Dalton's first 4 year stats put up against Dak Prescott's first 4 year stats, you're doing a thing. Like, you're doing a thing. You're comparing the two, and you're saying, hey, you weren't saying good backup quarterback for the Cowboys. You were saying, hey, might be the same guy they've already got, so competition on. You were saying that, and by the way, waving your hand.
Oh, my goodness.
Artfully. One, waving your hand
completely
at 30, a 30 interception differential. 30.
That is 100% incorrect. I do not believe there's anything when it comes to a quarterback competition in Dallas. The whole point was there is a great majority of Cowboys fans who think Dak Prescott is a phenomenal quarterback. I think he's good. So the point was you just signed a guy that a lot of people don't think is a good player. I think Andy Dalton's a good player. So the point of the tweet was to show, listen, Andy Dalton, when was surrounded by good football players on his team, was a good football player. He played good football in Cincinnati. And so the point of the tweet was, listen, Dak has been good
for
Dallas.
So hold on.
And Andy
Dalton, time out for 1 second.
This is not a competition thing.
What you're telling me is, okay, fine on the competition. What you were doing was elevating Andy, not pulling Dak down. That's what you're telling me you're doing.
100%. I'm pointing out this is a good hire. Andy Dalton is a better player than people think. Everyone thinks Andy Dalton stinks Cincinnati Bengals. Andy Dalton's a good player. And I was just making the point, Andy Dalton can still play.
Okay, really quickly, let's just go around the horn. Let's see. Was Dan elevating Andy Dalton or pulling Dak down? Mike A., go ahead, vote.
I think he was trying to meet in the middle. I think he was trying to do both.
Nuno, go.
He was elevating Dalton, and you guys are the most sensitive fan base there is.
Oh, God. Thank Bubba, you. Go.
He's doing a bit, won't admit it, and just it's just ridiculous.
I think, you know what?
Here's the thing.
I think you've hit the sweet spot because you got a vote for every single outcome. You've hit the sweet spot, my friend. Oh, my God, Eureka. You just hit gold.
Bro, here's the thing. Is it truth? Is what I put out there truth? That they are relatively similar? Yes, the interceptions are a big deal. There's no question about that. But other than that, there's a lot of similarities, right?
A big enough deal that it almost totally undercuts the comparison. 30 interceptions over 4 years. A 30 interception differential over 4 years. What is that average?
Well, please don't get into this conversation. Please do not get into this conversation with me about the difference of football teams. The dude's had like 12 Pro Bowlers over the last 4 years, or all pros over the last 4 years. Please played with. I think Andy Dalton played with like three. Like come on.
I thought we were doing their first 4 years.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. In his first 4 years, I don't know how many all pros Dak has played with on his offense. And in his first 4 years, Andy Dalton probably played with three. I mean, maybe Whitworth, maybe AJ Green. Like, we're not comparing what's been around the players. Comparison.
That's what that's how the 30 interceptions are accounted for.
Dude, this is exactly what this is my point. This is my point. How sensitive and soft. Like,
hey, I'm just cross-examining you.
You know what?
Here, it sounds to me like you're the one getting sensitive. You're the one whose voice is raised.
Will,
I'm totally calm.
Here, we'll do this. We'll do this. You know what?
Yeah. Okay.
The Cowboys are the greatest team ever. They've been so accomplished over the last 25 years. Dak is the best player ever, not the best quarterback right now. Best player ever. And their uniforms are is that better for you, man? Is that enough praise for your team?
I even like the tone. Yeah, it was calm.
Yeah.
It was confident. It wasn't that defensive, emotional tone you had a moment ago. I like that. Yes.
No, I think the emotion comes from the reality that, I send out something that is pretty explanatory, self-explanatory, saying that this player is a good player. If one group of people thinks that player A is really good, then that same group of people should be able to look at player B and go, oh, maybe he's better than I thought he was.
I hope everybody listening can realize I have a massive smile on my face because this has been a wonderful time for me. I've been having fun with Dan. I'm going to go with this, Dan. I'm serious. This is no longer mess with Dan time. Best two deep in the NFL at quarterback. I'm not leading you. You don't have to say the Cowboys. I think there's a lot of teams now in the running, the Colts, the Saints. I do think the Cowboys in the running. Best two deep in the NFL would be which teams?
Colts, Saints, probably Dallas.
Is Andy Dalton the best backup quarterback in the NFL, or is it Jameis? Is it Jalen Hurts?
No, I honestly think that if Andy Dalton had to go play the whole season for the Cowboys, they would be around a 500 football team, maybe a little bit better. I mean, I really believe that. I think Andy Dalton can play, and I think that their offense is in the conversation to be a top three talented offense in the NFL. So, maybe the Saints are certainly in that conversation. They're probably 1-2 with Dallas. I'm trying to think of other teams. They're probably 1-2 with Dallas.
I agree with you. I think Andy Dalton is underrated. I said that before he was a Cowboy, just to establish my bona fides. I thought the Patriots should have signed him. I think he's been a league average quarterback, which isn't that bad, for quite some time, and people have written him off as though he's no good. And
his last 3 years. Have you seen his last 3 year stats? His last 4 years, I'm sorry, 15, 16, 17, 18. These are even better for you Cowboys fans. These are even better. His 15, 16, 17, 18 stats. We're not going to count last year because it's a rebuild. They stink. He got benched, all that stuff. 63% completion percentage. He's got over 13,000 yards. He's got 89 touchdowns and 38 picks and a 93 passer rating.
Sounds like a Super Bowl's coming to Big D. That's what it sounds like to me. All right, Orlovsky. We'll see you, bud. Thanks for
Super Bowl's in Dallas this year? I thought it was in Tampa. That's
it's
weird.
Be coming home to Dallas, the Lombardi.
Yeah.
All right, man.
Keep dreaming.
Thanks for dealing with me. I'll see you.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters, featuring three advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
The homework was best movies to take place at sea. Who won? We find out a little bit later here on the Will Cain Show. Who got last? You find out now. Hey, you tune into The Last Dance, a behind-the-scenes look at the 90s Chicago Bulls dynasty. The series continues this Sunday at 9 p.m. Eastern Time on ESPN. And listen to the wrap-up podcast hosted by Jalen Jacoby immediately following the broadcast, presented by State Farm and AT&T, available wherever you enjoy your podcasts. The U.S. Women's National Team had their suit for equal pay and gender discrimination tossed out by a judge in California. I'm going to tell you how meaningful what exactly that's about coming up a little bit later here on The Will Cain Show. Plus, I want to get back to this idea and load up the phone lines and help me out if you wouldn't mind. I'm curious what you think. Are all great athletes motivated by anger? Michael Jordan sure was. But here we are. The homework this past weekend was best movies that take place at sea, or our favorite movies that take place at sea. I nominated The Hunt for the Red October. Nuno, Captain Phillips. Bubba, Jaws. Pat, Moana. And Mike A, U571. Now, what we need to discuss in this segment, what we need to establish is who's out. Who got last? All of us, all five of us have watched all five movies and have our rankings. So, fellas, let me open it up to the room, to the floor. Do we think there is a clear last place? I do. I think last is easier for me than first, actually.
I agree.
I have some trouble. I have a fight between four and five.
I have a suspicion. I know why that is. You said you're going to zig while everybody else was zagging. I have a prediction for the zag. I'll go ahead and cast my vote in order to get this thing going. Last place was U571. It's not, Mike, which was your nomination, a bad movie. I don't think there was a bad movie in any of these. But what I realized in U571 is it is Hunt for Red October, just not as good. It's, hey, an American sub-captain ends up captaining some foreign submarine, surviving a sea battle, and slowly turning it over to his side. And after a while with U571, I'm going to be real with you. Matthew McConaughey or not, I said, enough with the depth charges. It's a lot of depth charges in U571. I was kind of tired of the threat of the depth charges after a while. U571 wasn't as good as Hunt for the Red October, not even close, and it ended up in last place for me.
So I've been trying to battle either between U571 or actually, as much as I like Captain Phillips, I think there's a long part of that movie where it just gets a little boring, like the beginning or when they're trying to board. The ship is great, and then going through that whole process, and then at the end of it with the Navy and the Navy SEALs, like that's all great, but like the in between it. But since I can't vote for myself, I will go with U571.
What do you mean you can't vote for yourself?
Of course you do. Voting for yourselves for first place every week.
Of course you can. Just pick the worst movie. Why do you have to mess it up every time?
I think U571. I was not entertained.
All right. By the way, I think we just broke some news here. Nuno might not be voting for himself later in the best movies of the week.
It's a miracle.
Pat, what got last, Pat?
U571. I watched it after Hunt for the Red October, and I was like, this is pretty much the same, just not as good, like you said. So, yeah, that one was the worst for me.
We already have a winner, so what do you vote, Bubba?
Well, I will admit that none of them I enjoyed all of them, I should say. But look, I'm a 35-year-old man who lives by myself. It's Moana, all right?
You're just a hater.
It was a fine movie. I didn't hate it. I'm not going to say it was awful. I was pleasantly surprised, but again, I'm an adult male living by myself. It's Moana.
Call Find incoming your inner child, from Bubba. Bob Iger. Call incoming from Bob Iger. Mike,
I'll cast my vote, even though I would love to wholeheartedly defend U571. There's just not enough time. My vote was for Captain Phillips. I think it was good. I think there was a lot of stretches in there that just weren't great.
So you disagree. You have a defense for U571. You just don't have time for it.
Correct.
All right. Mike A, last place, U571. U.S. Women's National Team, next.
Thank you for listening to the Will Cain Podcast. You can listen to the Will Cain Show live weekdays at 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app. The Will Cain Podcast.